Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 188th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. I have two guests today. They're El Fadel Arbab and Tony Bazia. Bazia has been a guest here on the show annually, talking about his organizing efforts with his friend Ann Smith and the books that they've written together and the things that they've done through Project Bazia. Today he's back with his friend and colleague El Fadel Arbab, and they're talking about raising awareness around genocide and mass atrocities while cultivating a new generation of compassionate leaders. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
El Fadel, you are from Darfur, Sudan. Tell us a bit about your life there and about your flight from there.
Thank you for having me. My name is El Fadel Arbab, and I born in Sudan, in Darfur region. And I grew up there, and the life there is very simple. As I born there and I grow up, and it's just the life is very simple. My parents, they are cattle keepers and farmers. And the life is very simple. We just grow our own food, and we just, you know, kind of raise our animals. We get the cheese and butter, and the life was great. And suddenly, our own government, like the government of Sudan, in north called, the president called Bashir, and he just start doing a genocide and mass atrocity and a massive rape in Darfur region of Sudan. And also that was the result to let the South Sudan to explode and become as a new nation to call, you know, to be called South Sudan.
In 2011,
yeah. And it's really very hard for me. As a child, I was 12 years old when my area is being attacked. And I lost a lot of my sibling and my family members. And I keep running as a child and just keep going through the woods and cave and the mountains. And it take me 2 weeks to get to the area where I was trying to go. And I get help from the people and direct me to go to the capital of Sudan, Khartoum. When I get to Khartoum, it was even worse, because when you get to the capital of Sudan and you don't speak your native language or your tribal language, that is going to be even worse, because there is no one having a time to translate for you for your own needs. And we end up like the lost boys in the street. We collecting our own food, like go to the dump, like where the people put the trash at the dumpsters, and we look for the food and eat. There is no medication. There is no clothes for us. We have to find everything from the trash. So we live there with those kids. Even though we live that way, when it's a winter, like we dig as a hole, and inside the hole we make another hole, and we just kind of collect trash, you know, like kind of pieces of clothes from the trash, and we make like our beds. It's very neat. And or you have to decide to collect like... like there is a tree leaves, it's very soft. You have to collect that and put it there and you leave. And you make like a door, pieces of clothes, and you just put it there at least to have like a door that the oxygen could come to breathe. Even though we live by that way, the government are not leaving us alone. Come after us and get those kids. And we know if by 7 p.m. those kids, they did not get back, we know they taken them away. When they taken them, they enslaved them in their houses. And when they grow up like 14, 15, they turn them in their own like area and in their own region and kill their own people, because they kind of forcing them to do that, or otherwise they will kill them. And it really was really remarkable journey, and wasn't easy. It was very difficult, and I'm really glad that we escaped from Sudan. We go to Egypt for 4 years and a half, and then we kind of submit our cases to the, to the UN, and then we accept it, and United States accept us to come here as as a refugee, and we're really so glad that we are here in Maine, and Maine is like our home, and it's really, we're so glad that to be here, and we want to make a difference to our generations to come, as a Mainers to work together, and we have the stories. And we want to pass this to our students because they are going to be our future generation leaders. And
is this why you put together the organization called Darfur Community Center of Maine?
Yeah, it's a Darfur Community Center to kind of raise awareness to the public because there is a genocide happening, and we want the people will learn more about it, and then people will take action to make a difference, because we the people have the power to do anything we want to do, and that's why we kind of base this FCR, Darfur Community Center of Maine, to kind of raise more awareness and work, and also work for new immigrant and refugee are coming, because we are here before them. And we kind of struggle to learn, and we kind of will make a shortcut for those whom they are coming.
You want to help others. El Fadl, it sounds as if you've lived three lifetimes in your young life already. You lived a pastoral life with family and friends, taking care of cattle and eating cheese and living in family unit. And then you lived on the run as a boy, taking care of yourself, just scrapping a life together. And then you... Now you are here as a fierce advocate trying to help your people who've scattered around the globe, and some of whom are here. You can support each other's stories and also help to make better leaders for tomorrow.
Yes.
It's really a very powerful journey you've had already.
Yeah, it's really amazing because these young students, those whom they are going to the high school and college and even middle school and younger ones, they are very talented, very smart, very genius, and they are like opening for any projects to do. And we really work here locally in the state of Maine. We work from like different schools, like kids from high schools and middle school from different schools, and there is really a lot of projects that, like, especially like the art, musicians, like music or poet, and then we could tell them our own stories, and they could receive it with their own unique way, and they could do whatever they want to do, and we could guide them, and with the teachers, with our help, then they would become a better leaders, and they will understand the root causes of the issues, and then we will come to the solution that to have a peaceful place that to live in it as a citizen, as all.
I love that. So you're using both the fine arts and just general liberal arts, having children work on projects together so that they can learn how to be peaceful and whole, and also know about genocide in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because,
wonderful.
Because, you know, this art or poet or music, because when you hear the music, you will know exactly, you will feel it, you will have a connection to it, you will feel connected.
Yeah.
When you see the art, then it's like when an expression, they say, you know, piece of art is speak thousands of words. Mm-hmm. Then when you see, you don't need no explanation, you will just see, and it's just there.
You have a shared experience then. We both are looking at the same piece of art, we can talk about that.
Yes.
Yes, it's a little more grounded.
Yeah.
Bazia, you are here back on New Mainers Speak. Welcome back. And I wondered if you could explain what Darfurians have in common with South Sudanese. You're from the Lu tribe in South Sudan. And what do you have in common with El Fadl?
The common between us and Darfurian and South Sudanese who divided from the north to become a nation called by South Sudan. It's all about the way citizenship supposed to be in the first place in the north. That's the one of the things divide us, like South Sudanese. And the different, they were slow, the Darfurian, because all of them, they are Muslim. And there's some people maybe from the Nuba side they are Christian. They fight the same goal of to look to be a citizen in one country in the first class, not to be in the second class. So we find out we have the same similar issue. And even the Khartoum government was attacking us in a different way, not the way like it's happening in Darfur, you know. And that's one of the reasons we decided, me and Al-Fadl, to be a bridge, to work partnership and to raise what is happening in Darfur and South Sudan and how to let people go in the future.
Yeah, it sounds like you have very similar experiences. Coming from the largest country for many years, Sudan was a giant country, and in 2011 it got new boundaries with north and south. But you're saying that there's a second-class citizen thing going on. You've got the people in the north who have treated people in the west and south
and
poorly.
That's the one thing raised a concern. And the other thing, too, if you look at it, even after South Sudan became a country, there's other issue came when we talked about it last summer when the show, when the government started attacking the citizens of South Sudan among themselves. And that gave the same mentality what happened in North. You know, I don't want to be divide people by the tribe, but if the government who does the same thing what makes South Sudanese in the first place, leaves out our North to South, and then people of South Sudan start doing the same thing, looking to other people under that government like second citizen, that issue became again.
It's a question of equality.
Equality. That's why when I see Al-Fadl, it's the same part, but it's in a different level, and that's why we decide we need to work hard together.
I'm so glad you met here so that you can work together.
Yeah.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guests today are Tony Bazia from the Bazia Project and Al-Fadl Arbab. Both men have seen the devastation of genocide and oppression in South Sudan and Darfur, respectively, and they work together to unite people around the issues of leadership and genuine human connectedness. I wonder if you could speak for a moment about what it is the two of you are doing to work together and what you hope to accomplish together.
The first thing, really, we try to connect two things together. One of the things is education, the first key. The second is economic. According to where we scale, me and Fadl, the more number of the people of that nation that are poor, they cannot fight what they're supposed to fight in a healthy way. And I'm glad, like, we here in America, we have better chance. We can speak our mind. We can eat good. We can think good. So, and we really even focus of to be economic, to be not academic. They have to be a mechanic, hand job, that would pay in a better way. So
work this with your hands?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Work with your hand. And even language is sometimes a bearing of slow other people, but it still we believe they can bring something on the table, especially if we use the skill of mechanic, plumber. Those job is really awesome. And then me and Fadl were fighting more right now to get much education for the young girl. Because if you have a young girl, she's educated, it's like one village is educated.
For every girl.
For every girl.
You educate all her family and her village.
So this is a big goal, and we're working on it. And I believe we'll get there somewhere and somehow.
Beautiful. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what your definition of success is. I know you're not necessarily interested in being on the top of the pyramid. You've spoken a little bit about manual labor. What does success look like for your work together here in the United States?
Oh, here. One of the good thing even is a part of share our idea together and our goal. And the more we get close, and I believe by next month we're supposed to have a contract on writing, because just right now he's working him to create him website, to put him stuff together. So we're going to put a contract for the partnership where we're going to have the bridge on it to make sure by the book. And this is the one thing we say, well, since we agree to be in a partnership, let us start getting ourselves together in the social media. But we're working still on the table to get the paperwork by the book.
And what's the name of the new agreement between you two? Is that under Project Bazia, or does it have a special title?
Right now, we're using a big name of Africa United because it brings us, all of us, together. You know, we're using Africa United.
Wonderful.
And this Africa United is not covered even just Maine. It covers all New England's six states. So that's the new umbrella we're using it, and
great.
We'll put it under that.
Love that. Afadl, you tour and you do public speaking. I wonder if you could tell listeners who your target audience is and what you hope to impart when you speak to audiences.
Yeah, normally because I believe on our students, because they are going to be our future generation leaders, and I'm really kind of working with the students all different, like, you know, like different ages or different, like kind of different schools. And like you have middle schools, high schools, you have colleges, you have even the younger one. Because the younger one, basically, they just want to know, like, what it's like to grow up as a child in Africa, in any village. What kind of toys do you have? What kind of games do you play? How do you spend your time since you wake up until you go to sleep? What kind of food you eat? And what kind of animals do you have? And they want to know, the kids love questions. They want to know more. You have electricity, you have cars, you have all these. The kids just asking, and it's really amazing that with the kids, the younger one, we work with them, we bring clays, and this clay, I will build my toys I love, like I will build like elephant, giraffe, and the kids, they will build like snowmen, and they will build cars, and we will have, at the end of the day, this table or class will be full of clay within different, like, variety of things. And that's what really makes amazing, and the kids are exciting, and they are just like, yay, we done this, and we're gonna do this next time, we're gonna do it every year. And it's really amazing, the kids open it up, and this is where we're trying to build a bridge between Africa and United States through education. And this is really amazing. For the middle schoolers and high schoolers, we kind of give more opportunity with the art, with the poetry, with the music, that they could do more. And those whom they are interested on writing, so we could give them our stories, and they could write, you know, through the interviews available. Like, they could schedule, they could interview, or they could come one-on-one interview, or they could record, they could video, they could do whatever they want. And we really have the tools to provide for them to become a better success, and also they will become a better leader for us, because we believe that we as a people, as human, we are the citizens of the world, and we have to help each other, support each other, and just move forward to have a better future.
You seem to be the perfect ambassador for this. When we were talking earlier, you showed me that the djembe drum is the logo for your organization, and you talked about how drumming is so important in your village because everyone works together. Could you say a few words about that? I think that's...
Yeah. It's like the drum is very important. It's a key for anything. Like something good happening, we have to have a drum. People have to eat, drink, and drum, and dance, and get happy. And also, when there is something happening, like a warning sign, something is going to happen, not good, then they will beat the drum within different way. When you kind of beating one by one, that means there is a message, there is a warning sign. But when the people beat the drum like randomly, then that's like showing you it's a happy moment. And it's really amazing that the drum is really connect us, even though within the animals, when the animals inside the halls or on the trees hiding, and you start beating the drums and whistling, all these animals start coming out to see, wow, what a beautiful. It's amazing, they're trying to come out and see what's going on around them.
I've never heard anyone say that. How lovely an image is that? You call the community together and the animals say, That looks like a good party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, that's beautiful. So if people were interested in having you come speak to their student groups, how would they reach you, Elfal?
For now, for this point, we will go, they will contact Bazia Project, and then from there, they could ask, and me and Bazia, we will be available, even though we will be traveling a lot, doing a lot of speaking engagement across all 50 states, but we will be available locally here. This is the priority for our students locally to learn more, because we are locally here. It's not going to cost us that much to go, so it's just, it's going to be very simple.
And the address at Bazia Project?
Yeah.
BaziaProject.org?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, so if you Google Project Bazia, you're going to come up with the site for reaching you. And I will hot link in our in the New Mainers Speak website as well, so people can reach you, see what you're doing, and have you be these wonderful ambassadors to young children, connecting through the joy of toys and play, and through the older children, connecting through stories and communication, so that everyone can be one human family. You had said earlier, you know, if you have a danger warning on the drums, people come together because you have to solve the problems together. And I think the drum's a great symbol for you, because you're calling everyone together and saying, let's all move forward together.
Yeah, it's like kind of we believe on like a teamwork and also like a group work, because we believe on the idea of like the idea could be as individuals, but the work has to be done as a group. If we just think about it, like in United States here, look at all these bridges being built, all these buildings, all these, you know, all these countries really being built very well. Like if you just imagine, like there is a people work very hard and sacrifice to put this together. And think about, there is no machines before. They were just as a human, but they have to work together to sit on each other's shoulder and just build it up. So, and we are really very lucky to have this. They work hard and left this for us. And we really have to be creative as well to make something different to the generation to come and find as well.
I love thinking about that as we are not so arrogant as to think we created all this. I have no idea how a dishwasher works, but I use dishwashers, and it's thanks to dishwashers that, you know, I stand on the shoulders of the people who create a dishwasher, or name the invention. That's not maybe the best one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we are grateful to the people who have given us what we have, and you're wanting to make something beautiful to pass along to the next generation.
Yeah.
That's so admirable. Gentlemen, you are real lovers of humanity. I'm so impressed with your work with young people. While you have your employment to sustain you, you also have your outreach work, which engages your deepest values and benefits many other people along the way while raising awareness about genocide and atrocities. Thank you for your work helping to build better leaders so that we can all be more connected in the future. You've been wonderful guest today, and I thank you very much for sharing your insights with us here on New Mainers Speak.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you again.
And thank you all for listening. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainersspeak. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that these gentlemen, Elfadal and Bazia, have selected for us. I wonder if you could say a word about why you chose Emmanuel Kembe.
Kembe is a kind of a magician who fight for the woman right through the music, and that's what he believed. And he almost sing about how people the united and raise them concern. That's the one reason I chose Emmanuel Kembe.
Wonderful. And actually, before we move to the song, I wanted to say you brought a flyer in with you. Would you tell people about what you're offering?
Yeah, this flyer is going to be taking place by Monday at 6 p.m. in the City Hall. It's about the people who live in the state of Maine who are not citizens, but they pay taxes, they pay stuff. So we were fighting to make sure they can vote. I was out to be American citizen for a small thing, basic of the city of Portland, Maine.
Wonderful. So if you're concerned about immigrants who don't have a voice politically because they're not citizens yet, right, but they live here and pay taxes and pay...
All that.
Right?
So we need to engage them in the system.
6 p.m. August 13th at City Hall in City Hall, right, yeah, in Portland. So, all right, off to Emmanuel Kembe. Thank you for being here, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Where we're originally from is nothing but trouble. We talking about the South Sudan struggles. On the daily basis, grave diggers using shovels. Where we're originally from is nothing but trouble. We talk about the South Sudan struggles. On the daily basis, grave diggers using shovels. Where we're originally from is nothing but trouble. We talk about South Sudan struggles. On the daily basis, grave diggers using shovels. Shovel.
Comrade, Kalita Jai, you keep pulling a can.
Sita shuhu, de waja waja geliba,
waja 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 geliba.